You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. Today's episode is all about how to know that you're actually raising your vibration. Well, this is a feeling reality. And you'll know that you're raising your vibration because you'll start to feel better. You'll start to experience more joy. You'll start to have more fun. Things will get easier. You'll become more effective in everything you do. And it's really the feeling of feeling good is your indication that your vibration is raising. As you become more aligned with who you truly are, you'll start to feel better. When you start to see events from the higher perspective, you'll start to feel better. So everything about raising your vibration is tied to feeling better. Since feeling good is alignment, you know that you're raising your vibration more of the time when you're feeling good and in alignment more of the time. And when you're responding less to manifestation events as if something bad is happening, when you can really see that something good is coming out of this, well, you'll feel good in your body. And this will allow you to know that your vibration is raising and you're moving towards everything you truly want. And so Joshua talks about how the feeling in the body relates to your vibration. So I think you'll find this episode fascinating. Please remember to like and subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends, leave a review. There's instructions on how to leave a review on iTunes if you don't know how to do that. And that will really help broaden the reach of this podcast. So get ready for a great show and we'll see you next time. Bye.
We're thrilled to be here.
Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Joshua. Hi, Joshua.
So where you're headed now is a little bit different than what you may have thought before. As you're ascending in different vibrational levels from a position of individuality, maybe victimhood, maybe some fear, maybe perceiving that you aren't worthy or you aren't good enough or you need to be different than you are. As you're raising your vibration by consciously being aware of how you are interpreting your own reality. When something happens, a manifestation event, how you interpret that event, well, that tells a lot about where you are. And if you are seeing the event from the higher perspective, then you can know for sure that you're ascending your vibration. You're moving to new levels. And as you move to these new levels, you enter new dimensions. You enter the dimension of more love, more satisfaction, more joy. All the things that you truly want are coming to you because you are now becoming a vibrational match to the truth of who you are. And you know this from an intellectual level, but can you actually feel it in your body? Can you actually feel joy? Can you actually feel love and acceptance for yourself, for others, and for the conditions? Are you feeling better? The feeling of this reality is tied exactly to who you truly are. In the non-physical, you feel absolute joy and love and acceptance and excitement and interest and curiosity and support and all these love-based emotions. This is the basis of who you are. As you come into physical reality and you exist as a human and you have your ego and you have your defense mechanism, you have your survival instinct, you are constantly judging things and reacting to things. Well, from that perspective, you are feeling bad. You are feeling fear. You may be experiencing anxiety or regret or resentment or worry about the future. You are resisting what is happening. That resistance is felt in your body. And a lot of times that resistance is even stored in your body. And so there'll be certain areas of your body that have more resistance, and those flare up into some kind of unwanted bodily condition that you may not even be thinking about. As you move to a greater awareness of who you truly are, you release that through the body. And sometimes that releasing of resistance in the body feels like a cold or a flu or a bacterial infection or something like that. It's just the body's process. It's a way of moving the trapped energy out of the body. And in those times, it might be a little bit uncomfortable or painful. But if you can understand that what's really happening in the body is you're just releasing fear. You're just releasing your attachment to how you think things should be. You're just actually ascending to higher and higher vibrational levels. And as a result of all this, you will begin to feel much better. And since this is a feeling reality, we want you to rest assured that how you feel is the way towards higher levels of vibrational alignment. And as you can see yourself feeling better and better and better, as you compare yourself, not to anyone else, but to past versions of you, you can say, you know what? I'm very happy now. I'm very excited about what's to come. I'm very interested in this, that, or the other thing. I found my passion. I'm creating even deeper and more connected relationships with the ones I love. I'm thinking more about the health of my body. I'm eating better than I ever did before. I'm doing things that are less destructive, that are more in line with who I am. I am moving from this older version of me that was based in fear to a newer version of me that's based in the truth of who I am. And all of this gets to be felt, felt in the body, felt in the heart, even felt in the mind. And we will say, as there's been a lot of discussion about this, you have a mental construct of who you think you are and how you think the world works. You have a belief system. You have a way of reacting to things that are happening in your reality. And all of that is good because it adds to the vibrant tapestry of all that is, and that's fine. But now as you're consciously altering that construct, that belief system, to see yourself from a higher perspective, you will receive the feeling of it in the head, in the thoughts that you think, in the heart, and in the body. And so all these things work in tandem. So if you were to really process the limiting belief, you would feel better in the body, in the heart, and in the mind. If you were able to look at something that's happening in the moment from a higher perspective, you would feel relief in the body. And this is exactly the method by which the universe is showing you that you're moving to higher and higher and higher levels of awareness, higher levels of transformation to the authentic version of you. And it isn't an overnight process. It's a step-by-step process. Now, once you're on this journey of self-discovery, once you've let go of past resentments, past regrets, once you understand that everything that's coming to you is for you, once you realize you're perfect as you are in this moment, and you will expand to new versions of you that will be perfect in the future moments, and that the future will always be perfect as a representation of your vibration, then you can let all of that stuff go. Then you can see now that the feeling is the feeling of relief, that the feeling is greater levels of joy and satisfaction. And the feeling in the body, in the mind, in the heart is the thing that you can hang your hat on and prove to yourself that you are ascending perfectly. And then you will get to a point where you realize that every single thing that you used to judge as wrong and bad, you will now see it as right and good and for you. And if you can do that, you've transformed from the approach to life of the victim to the truth of who you are, which is the approach to life of the creator. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who'd like to start?
I'll go.
Excellent. Krista.
Hi, Joshua. I just was wondering if you could, I'm processing a limiting belief about drugs, and I'm wondering if you could talk about the positive aspects of drugs.
Well, what kind of drugs are you talking about?
Specifically, I said, and I'm struggling with amphetamines as a positive in any way, shape, or form.
What kind? That was cut off. What kind of drugs are you talking about?
Methamphetamines.
Okay.
The hard street version of it, not the medical term.
You must be aware that any single thing in your reality is neutral. How you approach it determines whether it is beneficial and empowering or limiting. Either way, it's an exploration, and there is no wrong or bad exploration in this reality. All exploration is good and right. So if you were to explore the victim side or the lower vibrational side of who you are in relationship to this substance, then you would be exploring who you're not. You'd be exploring the inauthentic version of you. And this would lead to manifestation event after manifestation event after manifestation event, because you are not on your journey of self-discovery. Now, if for some reason this substance was beneficial for your journey of self-discovery, then you would be exploring the truth of who you are with this substance. So the substance itself, no matter what it is neither good or bad. Anything can be abused, and anything can be used for an empowering growth. Nothing in physical reality has any inherent meaning until you have a relationship with it. And that's the purpose of everything in physical reality. It matters not what it is. It could be a mate. It could be a child. It could be a friend. It could be a job. It could be anything. If you're exploring the empowering side of whatever that is, then you are exploring it in alignment with who you truly are in love. And if you're exploring the what you perceive as the negative side of these things, then you're simply exploring the inauthentic version of you to discover more about that aspect of you. So that is fine too. And soon enough, if that leads to a rock bottom moment where you birth the desire to get your act together and to start on your journey of self-discovery, if you push past the fear that has held you in that lower emotional state, it is a wonderful thing. And that substance is beneficial in that regard. So everything in physical reality is based in love. Now you have a judgment on things. This is good, this is bad. That judgment alone is not true. It's your relationship to the thing, whatever it is. And if you explore that relationship in love, then no matter what it is, no matter what belief you held about it, it doesn't matter. You are exploring it in love on your journey of self-discovery that will lead you to other things and other experiences and other people that help you along that journey to support you fully in every moment. So everything is neutral. Nothing is inherently good or bad.
So that makes sense, because I can see, for example, my experience with alcohol and the other, like I never really liked meth. I tried it once, but the other drugs I did, I see them now as beneficial because where I'm at now. But for some reason, just that one, it just feels so dirty. There's something about it, but this is helping neutral rather than saying it's good or bad. Just neutral is really helping with the process. So thank you so much.
Excellent. And if you can release your judgment on anything, you move towards love. And if you can say, well, this thing is not for me, but whoever else it's for their own benefit and good, and I have absolute confidence in that, then that's an empowering belief system, which will enable you to be of service to yourself, to those around you, to whoever you bump in contact with. Whenever you say that's inherently wrong, universally wrong, is bad, you're looking at it from a limited perspective, and you're doing it out of fear, saying, I don't want this thing to exist, therefore I'm going to judge it as bad or wrong. And that's all based in fear. And what you're doing is you're attracting that vibration into your reality, because the universe has to show you it's not inherently wrong. Now, if you have a fixed belief system that says that's wrong, you have a manifestation event that's trying to show you it's not wrong, you perceive the event itself as wrong, it reinforces the limiting belief, and that belief grows stronger. Then you are more into that judgment, you're more into the inauthentic version of you, you're trying to push things away in an attractive reality, which that cannot happen. And so you just bring it again and bring it again and bring in other forms, and you explore and explore and explore and explore, ad infinitum, until you're done exploring, you return to the non-physical, and you try it again.
If right, you can, that's what I just realized the other day, what was happening. Yeah, I'm doing this to myself over and over again.
Because you are fear. You are defiant. You want this thing to be wrong because this is your only belief system. The only way your belief system can say, I want to be removed of this fear. The only way to be removed of this fear is to call it wrong and to judge it and try to control it. And yet you have absolutely no control of it because this is an attractive universe. It's your vibration, not your words or deeds or actions.
Right. Okay. This makes so much sense. Yeah. Thank you.
Excellent.
Cool. Thanks.
Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. I have a question. It's kind of a continuation of Krista's conversation with you. So I have an issue with alcohol as an observer, because I grew up taught that alcohol is bad, wrong, it's immoral.
Now, let's just say, we'll cut you off for a second. Is this thing you're taught, this idea that you were taught, which has become a belief, is that belief empowering or limiting?
In my case, it's very limiting because I see somebody, I feel like I'm going to lose to alcohol. And so I really want to get over this fear.
Yes. Now, can you create in another person's reality?
I want to.
You want to, but if you did, then you would rob them of their experience, their unique experience. So the one rule in physical reality is you cannot create another person's experience. Now, you can influence them. You can influence them in more fear by trying to control them. And you can influence them in love by accepting where they are, what they're doing, what they're exploring, realizing it has nothing to do with you, and above all, understanding that there is no loss. So the number one limiting belief isn't that alcohol is bad. The limiting belief that you have is I can lose a loved one. And that limiting belief is simply not true. In an attractive reality, you cannot lose anything. What you're doing now is having an experiential relationship with this person who, from your perspective, would be better off if alcohol was not involved. So the ego mind says, solution, remove the alcohol, everything will be perfect. That's not the case at all. The solution from the ego mind is always control, disconnect, fight against, resist what is happening. For you to understand who you truly are, you'll have to transcend the ego mind to come into the inner self, the alignment with the inner self, the alignment with the source, the alignment with the truth of physical reality. And you would say, first of all, I cannot lose anyone. I am eternally connected to every person I know. This relationship that I have with this person, that person is not the authentic version of them. When I return to the non-physical, I will know the authentic version of them. I will be reunited with them. And even if they were to transition to the non-physical before you, you would be more connected to them than you are now. In fact, you'd be connected not to the version of them that you see, the incomplete, the unworthy, the untrue version of them. You would connect to the absolute true version of them, which is the authentic version, the version of them that is not burdened by fear in the physical realm. So the limiting belief that you want to address here is they are experiencing physical reality as they intended. They are getting value out of this dynamic between who they think they are and the solution to the problems which they may find in alcohol. They are expanding through this experience, and they have a choice to use this relationship to explore the inauthentic version of them, to wander around in a state of numbness or misery or victimhood, or they can use that to see that this is not the life they want, and then they can change it on a dime if they want to. But that's up to them, not to you. Now, Is it any benefit for you to judge them as wrong in order to control their behavior? If you were to do that, you would simply add fear, more fear, to their experience. You would influence them from a position of fear. And so their limiting beliefs would grow stronger, they'd be magnified, they would adopt new limiting beliefs, they would see themselves as more wrong, more unworthy, more incapable of all these things. Now, there's no value in that. That's not helping anything. You're just adding fear to your own reality. If you could come to a state of acceptance, saying they're having their experience, they're having their exploration, you have no idea what they intended to explore in their lifetime. They are eternally linked to you. It is no accident that they are with you. You chose to have this interaction with them and play this role. You are getting something too out of the relationship, a better understanding about who you are. And when you return to the non-physical, you will know that you didn't lose them, that they are there with you eternally, and you will be delighted by this fantastic role-playing game that you did together. And you will both learn more about each other and yourselves. Now, if you come to that state of acceptance, then you would be receptive to inspiration that might influence them towards another idea, another belief. Not to control them, but simply you might be inspired by some wisdom coming through you that would be of benefit to them. And if not them, maybe those around them, or maybe others in their condition. See, this is the power that you have. You have this power of influence. You have a great power of influence, as do all of you who are listening right now. You have the power of influence, or the power of being an example of alignment. The example of alignment says, I don't condemn you for your actions. I accept you and love you as you are. Who you're being, I understand, is based in the fear that you are not worthy, or that you are not good, or that you will not make it, or whatever else the fear is. I understand that. And so I am going to accept you because there's no power in judging you or trying to change you or control you. So I remove any personal meaning about this relationship from myself and realize I am not responsible for your reality. You are. I'm responsible for my own reality. In my reality, I'm going to love and accept all of it, even this part that causes me distress because of limiting beliefs that I could lose you. And of course, the limiting belief of loss is a strong limiting belief, but it is not true. You cannot lose anything in an attractive universe. It wouldn't make sense. You can't push anything. You could not push this person out of your vibration. It would be impossible because that person is embedded in your vibration eternally. And so what you think you're losing is really this ideal that you have an attachment to. And so if you could let go of that ideal of attachment, you would suffer less. You would actually be able to accept what is happening from a higher perspective. And in that higher perspective is all your power. Now, will you save this person? It doesn't matter. But if you can get to this level of being the creator of your reality, living acceptance, accepting everyone for who they are, knowing that you cannot lose anyone, that no one can make a poor choice or a bad decision or a mistake, that everyone is exploring what they came here to explore, you can start to attract those who will gravitate towards the love that you are. And in that, you will be receptive to inspiration that will enable you to be of service to them as you intended prior to your birth. So you really want to help people, but you feel powerless to do so. You really want to help people because you don't like the feeling of seeing them suffering. So your help at this level of your growth is all based on, how do I get rid of this feeling? I hate this feeling. I want to get rid of this feeling. And all that feeling is resistance. It's all your inner self telling you, you're looking at this subject from a limited perspective. If you can change your perspective on this, you will be of service to that person and to everyone else in your life. Until you do, this person is your teacher, because this person is showing you that your old approach to life of control cannot work, will not work, and will only attract more fear.
So I've worked really hard on not showing judgment to this person and to support them. And I got the idea of like learning more about wine appreciation. And I thought I will, because I know wine, alcohol is not inherently bad. I've just been taught that. And I thought like I take these classes and share my learnings with this person.
Excellent.
But I have the intention to prove to him that I don't judge you. And in fact, alcohol has a very positive side. But is that control? Because I'm doing this to make myself feel better, this wine appreciation class, and I'm doing it so that other person will hopefully feel better about themselves.
Hopefully there is a beneficial side effect to this thing that you're interested in doing, to this inspiration, but you cannot be attached to an outcome. Simply the idea to enroll in a wine appreciation course is the inspiration. Leave it at that. It may have nothing to do with this person. In fact, imagine this. Imagine that you have a limiting belief that alcohol is bad based on your history and youth and what you were taught by your parents. And then this person shows up and has a problem with alcohol. And this inspires you from a place of love and acceptance and non-judgment to enroll in this wine appreciation course. In this course, you meet someone. That person transforms your life, becomes your best friend, or introduces you to some teachings, or maybe starts a business with you, or whatever it is. Maybe helps you find your passion. That transforms your life. The person who showed up with the alcohol problem got you to think more about your judgment of alcohol, helped you process this limiting belief, led you to the inspiration to join the class, and in the class, you met someone who altered the course of your life. Isn't it funny how the universe could work? And so if you can go into all situations like this, I wonder what's going to happen now. I wonder what this is going to lead to without any attachment to the outcome. See, now, if you hold on an attachment to the outcome and say, I'm going to enroll in this course to be of benefit to this person so this person changes their life so that they can be a better person and I won't feel bad, well, that's control. And that's that outcome that you're attached to. Let go of that outcome, you let go of control. And you just allow whatever's to happen, and you maintain a curiosity about what's going to happen next. This is exciting. This is interesting. Wow, I didn't think I'd ever be in this class before. Look at all the interesting people here. Wow, this actually tastes good, this wine. Oh, actually, I enjoy it. Oh, this is a whole new thing. Oh, now I'm interested in geography. I'm interested in all these other things. Okay, this is leading me to something new. Oh, guess what? It had nothing to do with that person. Oh, guess what? That person alters their behavior on their own. Why? Because you gave up the judgment and you let go of the resistance to who they were. And they transformed, not because you made them transform, but because you transformed.
Okay, so how do I show my non-judgment and support of this person and any other person who I tend to judge? I don't know how to show my non-judgment.
Non-judgment is the absence of action. There is no way to show it. You just be it. You don't need to show it. You don't need to prove to them that you're not judging them. You just maintain a state of acceptance. Notice when your ego mind is bringing up the judgment. You release the judgment without saying or doing anything. And you look at it from a higher perspective. If you need to, you process a limiting belief along the way, you see. But there is no need for you to show anything. Truly, someone who is non-judgmental is just accepting what is.
Then how do I show my love?
How do you show your love? You are love. That's all there is. When you are in alignment, you'll be inspired to say and do things that show your love. When you're in fear, you'll be inspired or urged to change the conditions or control the people. So if you're not acting on urges, you're showing your love. If you're accepting the situation, you're showing your love. Now, when something is as intense as this limiting belief about the loss of someone, about the perceived loss, what if this person lived another 60 years and you died way before they did? All this worry is for nothing. You think that that would be the cause of their death, but actually the cause of your separation from them would be your worry leading to stress and conflict within the body that causes you to transition. And they're still happily drinking a bottle off in the corner somewhere. They don't have any problem. They're not the ones with the problem. It's you.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Joshua, I have a question.
Yes.
So, you know, in doing this work and as I find myself coming into more alignment and, you know, a different understanding, it can be hard sometimes to be around people who maybe are not doing this work, obviously, who are maybe more negative, who don't, you know, who haven't, I guess, come to this. And it's really less so, like, I'm finding less limiting beliefs with, like, friends who are in the negative and more with, like, you know, like a partner.
Why do you think that
who
is?
You live with.
Yes.
Because I'm coming up against it all the time.
And because it's important to you.
Yes.
The friends yes. come and go, but the partner is someone you perceive from your perspective who's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
Right.
How about you let that go? How about you say, I'm having fun with you today. We're going to go to bed together at night. And in the morning, I intend to have fun with you then. If not, bye-bye. That's it. I am not looking into the future saying, in order for me to maintain my happiness, I have to have you with me every step of the way. At some point, maybe we change, maybe we go our separate ways, but I'm not attached to any outcome. I'm releasing the outcome of my ideal. The ideal is based on limiting beliefs. Your culture says, marry someone, die with them. That's it. Celebrate people for having 50 years together. That 50 years of misery isn't any fun. Why not 2 weeks of happiness and then you go your separate way? Wouldn't that be more empowering? And so the thing that makes you want them to be different than they are, no matter what it is that you think that in order for them to be with you for the rest of your life, they're going to have to change along with you. You can't change and they stay the same. That's never going to work. But you are creating your reality. And if you can accept them as they are, the acceptance, the relationship dynamic is what's needed. As long as you accept them, it doesn't matter what they do. It has no effect on you because you're the creator, you see. And they'll come along with you, maybe playfully, maybe sarcastically, maybe critically, whatever it is, but you won't care because you accept where they are. You are not better than them just because you know more. You are not better than them just because you're on your exploration a little bit further ahead of them. You're not better than them because you're living a life more in love and they're living life more in resistance. You are absolutely equal to them. You also are eternally linked to them and you came together in this reality to play these roles and define the dynamics of this relationship. You get to understand yourself more based in how they are being. And how they are being is always, always, always a reflection of who you think you are. How safe do you think you are? If you understand that you're absolutely safe, that everything that happens will be for your benefit. If you can see that and realize it, you won't need them to come with you. And guess what? They might just come with you. They might just pick up on this. It's a bit early now, in the early stages. The entire planet is ascending. Why not your partner? Wouldn't that make sense? If the whole planet is ascending, they might ascend too. And so if you can give up this resistance, especially in this stage of your growth, you'll get to the place where you'll just say, I really appreciate your take on this idea. But your disagreement with my idea, I'm not going to take that personally. I see that from your belief system, you can't fathom what I'm talking about or what I believe. And that's okay. And from my perspective, everything you're doing is perfect. And you don't have to change a thing. Now, here's the issue with any personal change, any personal growth. The fear is always, what if I get to the state of being where I'm in alignment all the time? I'm not interested in the news. I'm not interested in gossip. I'm not interested in the talking about the weather. I'm interested in talking about things that are important to me. Won't I lose everyone else? Won't they just be think I'm a weirdo and want to run for the hills? The truth of it is that some of them might, but that won't matter because you've raised to a new elevation. And what you're going to do is attract everyone who's absolutely a match to who you are now. And this will be so fulfilling that you'll look back on those days and you'll say, boy, those parties we had, or those things we talked about, or this effort and struggle that we did in business, that was really silly, wasn't it? I feel so much better now. I have so much more power now, so much more energy. I'm so much more effective in everything I do. All my true relationships are so much more enhanced than they ever were in that old life. And this is true of everyone who's been in the boot camp a little while. If you ask them about their lives 2, 3, 4 years ago and how they compare it to their life now, it's all better, every part of it. There is no regret at all. Everything they can see happened perfectly, and it will happen for you too. It's just in the beginning, you have a little bit of fear about these things, and that's all there is.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Hi, Joshua. So I have a lot of resistance that I hold in my body, in my emotions, and you helped me to realize that me and many of us on this call and many people are very like sensitive instruments, I would like to call it. And so when I wake up and I feel resistance some days in my body so heavily, I don't appreciate it. I kind of hate it. Part of me wishes I'm resisting the resistance. How great. And part of me wishes that I wasn't so sensitive. So I was wondering if you could help me kind of shift that perspective and really appreciate this high level of like attunement towards my resistance.
Superman has a superpower. He can see through buildings. Sometimes when he sees through buildings, he doesn't like what he sees. And sometimes I wish I didn't have that superpower. But that's the superpower that he intended to live the life that he intended to live. You have the superpower of sensitivity. Sensitivity emotionally and sensitivity in your body. You want to know when you're being resistant. You want to know it emotionally and you want to know it physically. Now, because you're so sensitive, when you have a resistant thought, you can feel it. But if you think that thing's wrong, then that'll turn into a manifestation event. And if you say the event's wrong, it'll turn into a bigger one and you'll really feel it. But guess what? You'll say at some point, I'm going to change my mind about this subject because it does not feel good. There must be something in my thinking that is making me feel that this is wrong. Let me address my thinking. And then you go on a journey of self-discovery, discovering teachings like this that help you see that the thing itself isn't wrong. It's your beliefs about it that say it's wrong. And if you can alter those beliefs about it, then you'll see it as less wrong. You'll still see it as wrong, just less wrong. It's a limiting belief, just less limiting, you see. And so you want to know, because for you to become who you truly are, for you to awaken to the fact that you are source in this body, experiencing this reality as projected from your consciousness, you want to know what that consciousness is saying. And so if it's saying emotional turmoil, then you'll say, okay, this projection is projecting something based on limiting beliefs. Let's look at those limiting beliefs and let's start a new projection. And if it's saying pain in the body, it's saying that these traumas that you're holding with you, these regrets and resentments or anxiety about the future, you're now incorporating into the body, you see. So we would say the first thing that you could do in the subject is to forgive yourself. Now, when we say forgive yourself, we're saying forgive the physical you and forgive this abstract version of you that exists in the non-physical who's putting you in all these traumatic situations. Forgive that you that you don't think is you for knowing more about what you truly want and putting you in these situations that from your physical perspective, you say, I would never do that to myself. You're a jerk for putting me in this position and making me go through that. And yet without those situations, you would never be on your journey so far ahead of the rest of humanity, where it is exactly where you wanted to be at such a young age. You didn't want to do this when you were 70. You wanted to do this now. And to do it now, you had to go through a lot of turmoil to wake you up to the fact that the what you were taught, what you adopted in your belief system was absolutely not true, was not true. You don't need to protect yourself. You are worthy. You are good. You are perfect. You are not flawed in any way. You cannot improve. Self-improvement is a myth. You are perfect. Everything's perfect and everyone's perfect. You're creating all of this. So you're creating your versions of everyone. You're creating all these situations. Now, the situation itself that you say is traumatic is actually neutral. Your limiting beliefs say it's traumatic. And without those limiting beliefs, you wouldn't care, wouldn't faze you. You wouldn't hold a grudge against it. And so as you hold all these grudges, the grudges have to get into the body until you choose to release them. And you could release them by forgiving yourself for putting you in these situations. Forgiveness and meditation are keys to this work. And it doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Forgive myself. Why would I forgive myself? I didn't do it. They did it. Why don't I forgive them? Well, because you created it. So you have to forgive yourself for creating something that you thought was bad, or forgive yourself for reacting to some conditions, or forgiving yourself for acting on urges to change conditions or exploring who you're not all this time. And then thank yourself for putting you in those situations, because without that, you would not be here now. You would not be here now, and you've never been here to this level of awareness in any lifetime. So you are healing all those lifetimes in this lifetime, and that can only be done with the superpower of heightened sensitivity, which you very, 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 very much want. Now, from your perspective, you say, oh my God, this emotional roller coaster, it's so painful sometimes. But also you feel joy more than people do too. See, it works both ways. Now, as much emotional anguish as you've gone through, the other side of that is emotional heights that the average mortal has never experienced in the history of the world. And you've experienced some of those heights, but those heights can be a constant or a much larger part of your experience. And that's what you wanted to experience. What's it like to live in physical reality as a human, feeling incredible love and joy and satisfaction? It's amazing. Now, if you didn't have that superpower, you'd be like, ah, that's okay. Oh, yeah, that's exciting. Oh, that's not too bad. Oh, that's all right, whatever. You'd be numb. You'd be numb. And those of you who like alcohol and drugs use that to numb this heightened sensitivity until you realize you don't need to. And once you realize you don't need to, then you don't need the drugs and alcohol. I mean, occasionally it could be fun, but it's not necessary to numb yourself anymore, because you get used to this feeling of feeling really, really good. And then you know whenever you're feeling bad, whenever something happens, even though it feels really bad at the time, it's just a limiting belief. It's just you're looking at it from a limited perspective. That's all it is. It's just your inner self saying, this isn't true. It's not true. It's all bullshit. You're just focusing on something that is not meaning the thing you think it means. And the relationship that you have with it and your idea, your ability to move that idea to a higher perspective, you don't know how powerful that is. It's not just powerful for you. It's powerful for all that is and for the mass consciousness of humanity. You're not just doing it by yourself. None of you are doing it for yourselves. You're doing it for yourselves, for all your past lives, for your future lives. You're healing all that. So think of a timeline way off in the past of your first life, and think of a timeline way off in the future, and that timeline goes together. So it's sort of linear from one end to the other end, and you're right there in the middle. But now think of yourself all the way up, shooting up into the universe and shooting down into the smallest particle. You're the center of all this, and you're creating and clearing energies for all of it, for all humanity, for all the non-physical, for all your past and all your future, all in this one ball of fire that you call your life right now. And the only way you can do that is have heightened sensitivity. So do you have another opinion on this matter now?
No, not anymore. I love that image because it makes sense that if it's so potent and so important to the whole universe that this work gets done, of course, it hurts so bad when it's not getting done. So thank you. It makes a lot of sense.
Excellent. When you're hungry and you're really, 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 really hungry, that hunger doesn't feel good. But when you eat, that food tastes great. And you would never want to lose your appetite. You would never want to go around saying, I'm just not hungry. I'm just not hungry. I'm just not hungry. You want to get hungry, and then you want to get inspired to make dinner, and then you want to feast on the amazing food that you've made and have the satisfaction of that. Same thing with feelings.
So perfect. Thank you.
Who's next?
I have a silly question, Joshua. I
love the silly questions.
I was thinking about animals the other day and how we humans choose to come to this reality. And I know animals live in a state of alignment all the time, I think anyway. But do they choose to come to this reality as well? Or how does that all work?
Absolutely. Everything is a choice to come into physical reality. It's not just a choice of, you know what, next Thursday, I think I'll pop into physical reality and be a cat for a while. It's I really, 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 really want to come in and be Kim's hamster. That would be the most amazing experience. I can't wait to come in and just love Kim from the hamster perspective and have Kim love me as a hamster. Even though you're eternally connected to that soul and that soul can express itself in all kinds of different relationships, you might say, well, how could my soul family want to come in as a hamster? Because they've never experienced being a hamster with you at this time in reality. And that is a new exploration. Now, it's not an aware explanation. It's not a heightened consciousness exploration that a human would have. It's a, my needs can be met by this person I love, and I'm just going to exude love for this person. And when I'm hungry, I might be a little grumpy, but as soon as I get fed, I'll go back to being in love with this person. And I want to play with this relationship because when I was that person's daughter in another life, we had this conflict because she was trying to control me and I was presenting a lot of fear to her. And so the open expression of unconditional love was not present in that relationship. Oh, sure, there was a lot of interesting things we learned about each other and ourselves in that wonderful relationship. But now I just want to come in as an easy little hamster, live a few months, have a little time being loved unconditionally and taken care of absolutely by Kim as Kim in this time. And this is another way I get to know Kim. The daughter that you had in a previous lifetime who was butting heads with you the whole time doesn't have the same perception because that conscious awareness of the human who's living at a different vibrational level as a child to the adult is trying to express their independence and their own authority, sovereignty, trying to learn who they are under the shadow of the parent who feels fear. As a hamster or a cat or a bunny or a dog or what have you, or a horse or any of that, they just get to leave all that baggage behind. And they just get to play with you for fun in this environment. And that's what they come to do.
So it's like yin and yang, and it's not, they're not at a lower soul level, so to speak, as a guinea pig or a ant or something like that, as opposed to a human.
Their intention is to come into physical reality to experience unconditional love for you. The universe causes the form, the best form. From the non-physical, they say, if the experience is to be a hamster, so be it. If it's to be a cat, so be it. If it's to be a horse, so be it. If it's to be another human, so be it. It isn't necessarily from that level. Now we're talking in a different kind of reality here. From this level, just for the fun of it, They allow the universe to put them in places, and that's not care. Now, if you were to take a wild hamster, if there is such a thing, that's a different experience, you see. That might be an experience in survival, in fear, in having a hamster family, in learning how to make a house out of the ground, that sort of thing. But when you're in a soul family connected and you say, Kim is going to come in and live as Kim in North America in this time period with a husband and a daughter and friends and parents and has these interests, wouldn't it be fun just to come in and be a pet for a little while and then leap back out? It doesn't mean that they can't be something else somewhere else at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, that's really fun. Okay, so I could be like somebody's cat right now too, right?
Would it make sense to you to come in and express the broadness of a soul or an inner self or source as just one entity at a time? Wouldn't it make sense to come in multiple ways and get multiple experiences and add in multiple ways to the tapestry of all that is, and to have all these other perspectives going on? It's still you. It's just you with different attributes, talents, intentions, all leading to an eventual understanding of who you truly are. So imagine you're a gambler, and you
That's
say
me too.
What's the best odds of experiencing the awakening moment in this lifetime? Well, I could just come in as Kim. Just that's my one shot. I'll come as Kim. I'll put all my eggs in that one basket. Or you could say, why don't I come in as Kim in North America, Bob in England, Marie in France, Sally in Portugal, Sven in Norway, and see what happens. And maybe as I'm leading each of them on their journey, one or two of them might make it. And if they make it, it adds to the whole soul experience. And this is the primary intention of all of you who are here listening now. Somehow you've been led step by step by step. You've pushed past your fears. You've acted on inspiration, and you've made it to this call right now today. So you're further along in your journey of self-discovery, coming to that awakening moment where you understand that you are the source creator of all that is in your reality, and that at that moment you unlock the key for all other versions of you that have ever existed, will ever exist, and your soul, your inner self, is unlocked, and now you start exploring physical reality as a limitless being of love, the creator of your reality, rather than exploring physical reality in fear, in control, and as the authentic version of you. So this is what is your primary intention as the soul. How can you get there? Well, maybe it'll help if one of us comes in as a hamster. And when Kim's down, she can pet the hamster and she can receive the unconditional love and she can give the unconditional love. And then she can think about, why can't she give this love to her mom or dad or husband or daughter or friend all the time as she can the hamster, you see. So all these little nuances of life that you think are random are actually here, every aspect of it, to help you on your journey of self-discovery. And we mean everything. We mean the person who was inspired to build the house that you live in was inspired so that you would have the house to live in.
Wow.
Everything is being set up. Everything is being lined up for you. Everything is being lined up, made as easy but necessary. Not easy from a human perspective, but easy from a non-physical perspective. Everything is lined up for you. You can resist anything that's been given to you, or you can appreciate anything that's been given to you. If you resist it, well, there's a limiting belief that you can process. And if you appreciate it, well, there's an empowering belief that leads you forward. So every single thing, the silliest question you just ask is probably the most profound question we've ever answered.
Thank you so much, Joshua.
Excellent. We have time for one more silly question. We find that the silliest questions have less attachment to an outcome, less emotional baggage within them, and often lead to the highest vibrational answers. Who would like to ask that silly question?
I would.
Excellent.
So going off of what Kim just asked, which was of course brilliant, why is it that I adore my dog? I adore him. I don't have children, but I imagine that that's like as much as having a child.
Why would you think one would adore a child more than a dog?
Well, I guess if one was the parent of the child, maybe there's just a stronger biological connection. I don't know.
Why would you imagine that a parent would love a child more than anyone loving anyone else? Why is this hierarchy? Why do you place conditions? I love you because you are successful and funny and smart and seem to be a good person, but I don't like you because you don't have a job and you're living on the streets and you're sort of a mess, you see?
Right.
Because you're still judging things, putting yourself in relationship based in fear. This person who I adore is connected to me eternally because I know them, and I accept them as they are because one thing only, because they do not invoke fear. The second this person I love leaves me, I hate them or don't like him anymore or whatever. They just drop 4 points on the scale. Now, your dog offers you no fear. The only fear they offer you is that they could run away or die.
Yes.
And so you're actually limiting how much you love them because of this fear of loss. But that's just because you're looking at it from a limited perspective of the human that believes in loss. If you understood that you and your dog were connected absolutely eternally, and it's one soul to another soul who intimately knows everything about them, and now you get a new chance at a new learning situation or relationship of learning, and that there is no fear in the relationship from either side. All you do is love them, because in the non-physical, all you do is love and accept everyone else, you see. And if you can love and accept yourself as the mother of this dog, I'm a good parent. I read up on the best thing to feed it. I take it on walks. I'm the best parent ever. In fact, this is the luckiest dog on earth to be with me. That's a high opinion of yourself as the dog's mom, you see. Now, you could have that in every aspect of your life. I am the best wife. I'm the best friend. I'm the best daughter. I'm the best in this business. I'm the best at everything. Because I am love. I am love. And because I am at such a high level of love, these people are so lucky to be around me. It's amazing. Who gets to be around someone as much love as that? And so as much love as you can feel for your dog, you can feel for every single other human, thing, day, condition. That is your potential. So the dog is here to show you your potential. Why do you feel love for the dog? Because there's no fear. Why is there no fear? Because you feel you're basically in control of this dog's life. You're not letting it run wander around, letting it go off to college, letting it date this and that other person, letting it start its own business, which it might possibly fail. You are just there with your dog. The dog's not offering you any fear. And so you naturally love the dog. This is true of every aspect of everyone's life. If you let go of the fear, the natural feeling is pure positive love and acceptance. That's who you are. That's who they are. Isn't that natural? Of course it is. So let go of the fear. You will improve every one of your relationships to every single thing in physical reality, not just other people, but other things as well, and especially who you are. Think of yourself from the highest perspective that you cannot lose anything, you cannot be hurt, you cannot be destroyed, you cannot die, you cannot lose, you cannot fail, you cannot be unworthy or imperfect anyway. All you can be is a perfect being of love, and that's what you are. You just don't quite see it yet. So if you move towards the understanding of that, then everything else is enhanced with love. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.